This is Vatican Radio and I'm Lydia O'Kane. Forced migration, how it can be tackled from a pastoral perspective. That is the subject of the Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant Peoples Plenary Assembly taking place in the Vatican. Entitled The Pastoral Solicitude of the Church in the Context of Forced Migration, the plenary is looking at the plight of people forced to flee, in many cases, conflict and persecution in their own countries. One of the speakers participating at the event is U.S. Bishop John Wester of Salt Lake City. He addressed the assembly on the phenomenon of forced migration from the perspective of North and Central America. I spoke to him about the issue. Your focus for this conference is North and Central America, analysis of the current phenomenon of forced migration. Tell me, how is that impacting with regard to maybe the economic crisis, that people are being forced to migrate from one area to another area?
These lines are becoming blurred, you know. It used to be one of the thoughts of our conference, even. It keeps repeating this, that there was a time when it was pretty clear people who voluntarily migrate and those who were forced to migrate. Now it's much harder to determine exactly. It's a mixture. And really, people who you might think are choosing to migrate really are migrating because they really have to. And we're seeing this more and more. They're being pushed. The push factors are becoming more and more pronounced. So there are certainly people who are forced to migrate because of the economics, because of trade deals between countries, because they're not able to make a living for themselves and able to provide for their families. And so they have to migrate to find work, to find a way of feeding their children and supporting themselves. But there's also, of course, many who are being pushed from political persecution as well. Persecution in the form of violence, gang violence, for example, drug cartels, people who are being caught up in the crossfire and who have been kidnapped and in fear they're fleeing literally for their lives. And so there's many factors, economic and political and systemic factors that are making it difficult for people and forcing them to migrate.
What about the aspect of people who are coming from South America, Central America to North America for a better life? Obviously, we're looking at laws. How can there be a dialogue? How can the church help with regard to a dialogue, with regard to making it easier for people who want to find a better life?
Well, I think one of the main things the Catholic Church can do is to heighten an awareness of the phenomenon of the migration and to help people to remember that in the United States, this can often be seen as a political issue. Or it could be seen as a legal issue, that the people are breaking the law and they shouldn't be rewarded for that. What the church does is try to help people see the broader context, the deeper context, and to see that, number one, first and foremost, we're talking about human beings. These are people, children of God, who have inalienable rights from God, right to for the pursuit of happiness and a certain medical attention and food and to make a living for themselves and shelter and social welfare concerns. So that's a very important aspect, because we have a tendency in the United States, in my view, to politicize this issue and to use it for political ends. And that's not right, because we're talking about human beings. You cannot turn a human being into a thing, into a commodity. I think, secondly, the church can remind us along those same lines that we benefit in the United States from the immigrants who come to us. We benefit greatly. They help our economy. They pay taxes. They do much of the work that our own citizens do not do. They actually increase the labor market, help the labor market, increase the number of jobs. So there's a tendency sometimes, though, to look at the labor, to look at the GNP, to look at the product, and to see the human being only as someone who does all that, who is a means to an end. And that's dehumanizing, and that's not right. So the church helps us to see that first and foremost, we have to treat the immigrant with dignity, with respect, with hospitality. And the church can get their story out. The church can get the story out of the immigrants and people know. We've discovered through our interviewing and studies that when people know the story of the immigrant, it changes radically their opinion of immigration. A lot of the conflicts that we're seeing now are rooted in fear, you know, and we see this in Europe, we see it in the Middle East, we see it in the United States. People are afraid, and sadly, sometimes there are some in the entertainment industry who feed that on purpose. They foment misinformation, and to help their ratings, whatever. So I think the church can help. For example, the Justice for Immigrants program in the United States, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has funded this program, the JFI program, now for many years, and this helps people to look: what does the church teach about immigration? Why does the church teach it? What are the issues that are involved here? What are we looking for in a comprehensive reform? These are some of the issues that we're looking at.
How important is something like education?
Well, that's critically important, of course. Education has been shown to be the key out of poverty. And really, if you think about it, immigrants tend to be among the poorest of the poor because they don't have anywhere to lay their head. They're starting anew. They don't have the resources, the support systems, the networking. So education is absolutely essential for the immigrant. We do, of course, the church is involved, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, in resettling on the refugee end and asylum seekers. We do a lot of resettling. In my own diocese, we do about 550 a year. And so there's a kind of a basic education. But beyond that, education is critically important, which is why we've been pushing for the DREAM Act. For our children, immigrant children, because they're coming here. Most of these children don't know any other country but the United States. And so if we can get them to get assistance with their tuition, to get them an education, that gives them the key they need to make a start out of their lives in the United States. Without the education, we see a tendency toward the immigrants, they don't feel accepted, they don't have anywhere to go, and there is a greater likelihood for them to join a gang or something of that nature, to resort to crime. And so education, again, proves itself that with education, people will be less inclined to do that and more inclined to get a job. So education is really, and I'm glad to see that our country has worked. Many of the states have reenacted or renewed their commitment to the DREAM Act to help the young immigrants get a start in life in the U.S.
Just looking at the other side of education, actually educating Americans, people in North America, to show them that they needn't, as you were talking about fear, that they needn't be afraid, to show them that migrants can be important for the economy, that they can do many things, because there is. Sometimes migrants don't feel welcome.
Well, that's true. I was surprised to learn, however, that many of the studies indicate that education of the in this case the citizen of the United States about the immigrants, I think it's critically helpful. I still maintain that. But the studies show that it doesn't tend to change hearts. That people oftentimes will stay in their whatever their take on it is, they don't change that. Education alone, I guess I should put it that way, education alone doesn't seem to change hearts. I think education is an important component, but we have to have education along with telling the immigrant's story on an affective level so the people in the United States can learn about what their circumstances are. Because I think the United States citizenry, they tend to be compassionate, they tend to want to help, they reach out. And so I think that's been what's missing in our debate, is that we don't get the story out enough. The opposition, so to speak, has succeeded in painting the immigrant as a non-entity, or worse, as a threat. You know, we use words like swarms and tsunamis and waves. These are all words that talk about natural disasters and insects and animals. And so this language is important. So education is important. But I think it's telling the story of the immigrant that really seems to change hearts. And I've talked to people, and when you've told the story, they say, oh, well, I didn't want, Luis or Roberto, I know them. They're wonderful people, and they go to church, and they have a lovely family, and they're respectful, and they're law-abiding. So people, once they know who it is and hear the story, that seems to be even more effective than education. Education, I think, is important, and that's why we have the JFI program, and I think it is helping, but it needs to be coupled with getting the story out.